So what I'd like to do tonight is continue and finish the halachos of bona, of building, that we were discussing last week. Just a few things, just to answer up and clarify from last week. I did a little bit of research on a few of the halachos. Mrs. Gardenschwartz is not here, so I'll tell her about the tape if she comes. I'll tell her when she comes about that. But one thing we were discussing as far as tightening a broom, you had asked about a broom, if it's not totally off, but it's just loose. So I had said that at least by a broom, you'd be allowed to tighten it. That, I think that's a correct halacha, but as far as a doorknob to a door, that, since that's more strict, like we were talking about last week, since that's connected to a house, connected to a building itself, so then that is more strict. If you have a doorknob that's loose, that you're not allowed to tighten it. Meaning that what you're not allowed to put a doorknob on is not only if the doorknob is totally off, but even if the doorknob is loose and you just want to tighten it, that is also not allowed. But for a broom, and I think we were discussing another case that was something loose and you just want to tighten it, that is not a problem by a utensil. But something that's connected to the house, that would not be allowed. So the doorknob is considered connected to the house because it's connected to the door, which is connected to the house. So that that should not be done. As far as the screens that we were discussing last week, the screens that go into the groove of the window. But they don't snap in. So I think, I was discussing with some people, I would think that that would be permitted based on the following heter that we're going to start off with tonight, which we had touched upon at the end of the previous year. And the next leniency that we're going to discuss is, when it comes to building, is something that's called derech tashmisho, means the normal way of usage. So we mentioned it last week briefly when you had asked about the sponges on the side of the sink and the child gates, but something that's considered the normal way to use something, that is not considered building on Shabbos. Meaning, let's say the cover of a salt shaker or the cover to a baby bottle. It's normal to take off and put on, even if you put it on tightly. We were discussing last week as far as putting things on tightly and loosely, and we differentiated if it's part of a structure or if it's just by itself. But over here, putting on a baby bottle or the cover to a salt shaker, that whatsoever, that's not called building. That's just a normal way of usage. That's what we mentioned briefly last week. That's the same reason why you're allowed to open and close a door on Shabbos. Why the Mishnah Berurah says, why is that not considered building and demolishing when you open and close the door? Because that's just the normal way you use it. That's not considered building. That's just the normal way of usage, and therefore that is permitted. By the toilet paper. So toilet paper a lot of times can't be used on Shabbos anyway, and quite possibly it's muksa. We were discussing, I think, when we learned the halachos of muksa, but at least the roll that's inside, you know, that you could separate from the roll and take off and put on, if let's say there's no toilet paper on it and someone wants to play with it on Shabbos, that's not considered bona, because also that's made to remove and put back and forth. That's just a normal way of usage. Another example is in a refrigerator. You have the fruit bin or the vegetable bin, and you know it could come out totally. So a lot of times you don't take it out totally. You just open it, take out the fruit, and close it. But that is made to remove back and forth. It's made even to remove totally. A lot of times you'll tell the cleaning lady to take it out totally. That's the normal way that the usage to remove. That's not considered a problem of building. Also, even the shelves that for the, you know, some of us even leave it in there all the way till Pesach. But the shelves in a refrigerator, you'll notice that they could be taken out and put higher or lower. That's just a normal way of usage. It's not a problem of considered building. If you have a big pot that's very tall and you can't fit it in, so what do? You take the shelf from the refrigerator and you put it up one notch higher. So it's normal. It's made to remove and put back and forth. So that's also not considered building on Shabbos.
What about dining
table, like a leaf. A leaf, right. So Mrs. Gardenschwartz asked that last week. So we said the same idea, that is also permitted. You're allowed to put in a leaf, take out a leaf, put in a leaf on Shabbos, because that's not considered building, even if it is one amma by one amma by three amma that we discussed last week. But that's also considered derech tashmisho. You take out the leaf, you put in the leaf, that's not considered building. Some place can say that if the leaf has a latch or a screw, then that should not be tightened on Shabbos. That already is considered too much. But I didn't see that anywhere like in the Mishnah Berurah or anything like that. But at least as far as taking out and putting in a leaf on Shabbos, that is allowed. If you do it before Shabbos, that'll be the best. But let's say Shabbos morning, you know, you realize, oh my gosh, I'm going to be having an extra 6 guests. So you just remove the tablecloth, you could put in a leaf. If you didn't have the leaf in there before, you're allowed to put in the leaf on Shabbos. And the same idea is the safety gates, you know, the child safety gates on the bottom of the steps, the top of the steps, wherever it is. That is also, that's normal to open and close, similar to the door of the house. That's not considered building, even if it attaches tightly, like we were discussing last week, even if it attaches tightly. But that's the normal way. The normal is to open and close it. If once it's closed, the only way an adult could get by is if they step over it, then obviously that means it's made to open and close. You just do it for the children, for the baby, that they shouldn't, you know, go somewhere that they're not allowed. But that's made to open and close. That's also not a problem of building on Shabbos.
Right, you may have gone over this. About kids building
Legos?
Blocks and all
that. It's mamish what we're about to say next. Okay. Legos and clicks. What is with Legos and clicks on Shabbos? So there are some pesukim that say that Legos and clicks should not be played with on Shabbos. Now, we have mentioned numerous times, when it comes to children, you have to know how old is the age that you need to start telling them for chinuch purposes that you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. When it comes to coloring with crayons and markers, so then already at the age of 3 or 4, they're old enough, you could tell them, listen, we don't play with markers on Shabbos. When it comes to playing with Legos, I would think that it's a little bit older, you know, a 5 or 6 year old can't understand that you can't play with Legos on Shabbos. Quite possibly even a 7, 8, or 9 year old, what's wrong with Legos? You know, what's wrong with playing Legos on Shabbos? So some places can say that Legos are allowed, but not clicks. Clicks, like they get tight. So some places can say that if you're allowed to, that you're totally allowed to, but if it's something that you're going to build that's going to stay like that for a while, like you build Empire State Building with the clicks, and that's going to stay for, you know, for many days, so that is not allowed, but any other types of playing with Legos and clicks are allowed. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you don't have to stop the children from playing, but he says you shouldn't give them the Legos and the clicks to play. I mean, they want a game, and you have a few options of what to give them to play with. So Moshe Feinstein says you shouldn't hand them the clicks, because that could be a question of bona of building on Shabbos. So therefore, you don't hand it to them. But if they're playing with them, Moshe Feinstein says you don't have to stop them, and he says they're not muksa, because the fact of the matter is that they do play with it, so that makes it not muksa. And therefore, the best would be to avoid it. Let's say your kids say, oh, could you come play with me? Come build me something. Mm-hmm. So then already we start getting into, like we were discussing, with getting the ball out of the bushes. Now, what's considered chinuch? But then you need to know what's not allowed according to strict halacha, and then you have to decide what age is the age of chinuch. But then, you know, you have to know for yourself, what are you allowed to do and not? For Legos, I would definitely say, I myself, if my kids asked me to play Lego with them, I would play Lego. For clicks, I can tell you for a fact that for clicks, I've tried to avoid it. My kids ask me to play clicks with them. I don't put them in all the way myself. I just show them what would be a good place to put it, and then they put it.
What about Lincoln Logs?
What's that?
Lincoln Logs?
That's even more precarious.
What's Lincoln Logs?
They're little logs that you build the houses with, and they fit together. They have little...
Oh, those... Logs, and they have grooves in them, so you can put another log.
Oh, that... Okay, but that I would think is even less secure, if I know what you're talking about, less secure than Lego. Right, yeah. Because you could just tip it over totally. If you would tip it over, they would all fall apart. But a Lego, if you would tip it over, a lot of them would still stay connected.
Okay.
Quite possibly, I would think that's for sure not a problem.
So like you're allowed to, because like a lot of the Legos, like, I mean, bigger kids, like they like to do the ones where it goes in steps, you know, where it shows you, you know, picture to picture like this.
Oh, okay, right, they have the booklets, right.
So like you're allowed.
Yeah, for the little Legos, my kids have, yeah, we have that.
You're allowed to.
If that's something that's, you know, if they're going to build like a whole helicopter based on, you know, the steps, yeah. So that is something that's going to stay for quite some time, like the Empire State Building. So that, some place going to say that should be avoided on Shabbos. But again, with the kids, with little kids, you don't have to worry. You definitely don't have to stop them.
Even if they're going to destroy it, like, they're not going
to. Yeah. But if it's something that's made to stay for a while, then it's more strict. But again, there are some places that say that you're allowed to, even with that. So, again, if you look at any sefer, any English sefer or any Hebrew sefer, what's the halacha with Lego on Shabbos? None of them will say a straight out answer. They're going to say that it's a machlokas and it's best to avoid and things
them,
like that.
But you could direct them. Sorry? Take that, you could direct
for
them.
A child, you could do it. I think for a child, you're allowed to do it. They're already playing with it. Again, to rely on Moshe Feinstein is totally okay. Moshe Feinstein says if they're looking what to play with, don't hand them the Lego. But if they're already playing with the Lego and they need a little bit of help because those booklets are complicated, you could show them which way to do it. You could even pick it up. It's not muksa. Just you don't be the one. If it's going to be something that's going to stay, I would suggest not to be the one to put it together, especially by the clicks. But if you, worst comes to worst, if they can't do it, you want to put one thing together, it's not such a problem. They're definitely a place going to say that'll be enough. Okay?
Playmobil, like with the head comes off.
Oh, the head comes off. Oh, like the Legos also have now, like those little men, those little men.
Yeah.
That like also like snaps into place.
It's hard, right?
And so that will be. I imagine that will be the same type of halacha. That's something that's planning to stay. Some say it will be totally permitted, but those that say that for that it will best to be avoided. But again, with little children, if they're ready playing with it, you don't have to stop.
But I shouldn't put it on for them.
Preferably, if you could avoid it, if they can't do it without, they're asking you for help and they can't do it, you know, you could do it. But to the best will be to try to avoid. But again, but I have no, I know I'm being a little bit vague, but I have no problem with that because it's not clear in the Pesukim. So I'm not going to just go tell you, yeah, because hey, go do it whenever you want. But I'm not going to tell you that it's totally forbidden whatsoever. It's a machlokes, so that's why I have no problem. I feel comfortable saying the best is to, because this is how I approach it. I have kids and they play with Legos and they play with clicks and all these halachas, all these things. Best is to try and avoid it. But worst comes to worst, if they really need it and they're asking you to put it together, you could do it. That's a clear cut halacha, you know. Best is to avoid, but if not, you know, you could do it. Shtenders, if you know, it's good at least you know, for the men in the family. If you have, you know, the shtenders that, you know, the screws, and you could raise them and lower them. It's a tremendous machlokes. Is that included in this heter, in this leniency of normal way of usage, derech tashmisha? There are those that say that yeah, it's normal. You pick up the, you raise the shtender, you lower the shtender. That's considered normal. They say that that's allowed to be done on Shabbos. Others say that no, that the shtender, you, however tall the guy is, that's the height that he keeps the shtender, and so why should he make it higher and lower? So that's not considered the normal way of usage. Again, if you see a man doing it, you don't have to scream at them and stop him. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you're allowed to. Rabbi Yashiv says you're allowed to. If they want it, if it doesn't make such a big deal to them, just make it a little bit lower, a little bit higher. There are those that say that it should be avoided. So therefore, it's good not to do it. That's as far as Derech Tashmisho. Right, so we discussed the leaf and the table, we discussed the safety gates. As far as the tape, you weren't here before, so as far as the tape, I should have said last week, I forgot the halacha, but it's a clear halacha. Anything that got, her question was last week was, let's say you realize that there's a piece of tape stuck to your tablecloth, or a piece of tape stuck to your outfit. Are you allowed to remove it on Shabbos? So the halacha is that as far as korea, as far as tearing, anything that was connected inadvertently is not a problem to take it off on Shabbos. So Korea is totally not a problem because this tape obviously got stuck to the tablecloth or to your skirt inadvertently. So it's not a problem whatsoever of Korea. But what does remain is what we mentioned last week, that the tape is muksa. But muksa is, as we discussed, halachos of muksa. There's usually a way out of muksa. You could move it with your elbow, you could move it with some other type of way besides your regular hands. If you could detach it like that, then you avoided the problems of muksa, and tearing korea is not a problem. So that's halacha in such a situation. And imagine even not only tilta begufa, also tilta min atzad. Like you could take a knife or a fork and move the tape with the fork or knife. And we said that's considered moving something not directly, and that's permitted for the purpose of a non-muksa item. You're not doing this for the purpose of the tape, to save the tape for something. You're doing it just so your skirt looks normal, so your table looks normal. So also be allowed to take a fork or knife and lift off the tape like that. So that's mm-hmm. And then just put it in the garbage, wherever you want. So yeah, once you're holding it, you're allowed to put it wherever you need to put it. But as far as tearing it off, that's not a problem. As far as utensils that fold and unfold, so since it doesn't include, and you're not adding any parts, so you are allowed to open up a folding table, you are allowed to open up a chair, you're allowed to take out a high riser on Shabbos. All of these are not considered building on Shabbos because you're not adding any parts. It's a full kli, it's a full utensil, it's a full object, just it's folded up. So you're allowed to unfold it on Shabbos. This includes strollers. If you have a stroller that's folded up and closed, you're allowed to open it up on Shabbos. It's not considered as if you made a utensil, you built something on Shabbos. You just unfolded it. It was ready full from before. You didn't add anything to it. You just unfolded it. Strollers, playpens, pack and plays. Everyone wants to know, you're allowed to open up a pack and play on Shabbos. You're allowed to open up a pack and play on Shabbos because you didn't add any screws or anything like that. I did have a pack and play once that needed a screw because it just broke and it was loose. Every time we had to open it up, we had to put in a certain screw on the bottom to make sure. Fine, that's a different issue. But to do that on Shabbos, But any pack and play that essentially opens up, even if it snaps into place, but you didn't really do anything, you didn't add any parts, that is allowed to be opened and challenged.
Fold things back up.
And to fold it back up as well, right? That's not considered demolishing. The same way opening it is not considered building, so closing is not considered the malacha of sosa, which is demolishing. Because that's just, you didn't add or take away anything to it, you didn't destroy anything, you just simply folded it up. Open it up and fold it closed.
But the stroller awning.
So we're going to discuss the awning shortly. To add a hood or an awning, that is not allowed. We're going to discuss soon opening it up, but to add a part to it, there was a thing called a silver cross, like those carriages. You know, you add the hood to it. So that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. It's not allowed to add a part to the stroller or the carriage.
Imagine if it's already on, it's not a problem to open.
That is a different discussion. That's the same question that she was discussing. That's something else that we need to discuss shortly as far as asiyas ohel, making a tent. So it's building, it's not building, but it could be a problem, which may also be midairai, so forbidden min haTorah, as far as making a tent and a covering on Shabbos. So then we need to discuss shortly as far as strollers and carriages and things like that. So let's just finish first building and then we'll discuss making a tent. Fine. Just a few more examples of building and then we'll get to the halachos of making a tent. Let's say a toilet seat gets detached. So sometimes it's not such good quality, or sometimes just after a while it gets loose. And then of course on Shabbos is when it gets totally detached. So you are not allowed to put it back on Shabbos. And as we discussed last week, anything that's part of the house, and a bookcase and a refrigerator and a toilet, those are all considered part of the house. There you're not allowed to do it even loosely on a Torah level. That is forbidden even on a Derabbanan level to put it loosely, because you may come to tighten it. Right? We said to put something tight in the house is forbidden midaraisa, according to Torah law. To put it loosely is forbidden on a rabbinic level, because you may come to tighten it. Even to put that toilet seat that fell off to the floor, just to place it on top of the toilet, even loosely is forbidden midrabbanan, is forbidden on a rabbinic level. But the halacha is, and this is a great halacha to know just in general, something that's called kavod habrios. That means that human dignity, that if there's a lack of human dignity, then we permit things that are only forbidden on a rabbinic level. Meaning if something is forbidden according to Torah law, that we wouldn't let no matter what. But it's something that's only forbidden midrabbanan, it's only forbidden on a rabbanan level, so for the purpose of kavod habrios, then we let you do something that's forbidden midrabbanan. Therefore, if this is the only bathroom in your house, this is the only bathroom available, or it doesn't have to be in your house. You're somewhere, you come somewhere, and this is the only bathroom, only toilet available, and you see the seat is broken on the floor. So there we let you put it on loosely, not tightly, because that's forbidden according to Torah law. But you're allowed to put that on loosely. These are the type of lochos that you need to know in advance, right? Everyone says, if I have a shayla, just ask a rav. This is a perfect example of something that you can't just go ask a rav. You need to know that this is only forbidden on a rabbanon level. If this is the only bathroom that you have accessible, so then we let you put it on loosely. And just be careful not to go ahead and tighten it. The lid to the toilet, you know, the cover on top of the toilet that you take it off and you see inside to the water, that is clearly just a cover that is made. It's like Derech Tashmisho, like we said before. It's made to take off and put on, even though you may not take it off for like two or three months because your toilet is working fine. But it's obviously a cover that is made to remove and put back very easily. That is allowed to be removed on Shabbos, and you're allowed to open it up if you need to look inside for something that's considered Derech Tashmisho. If the hook in the lever, the S hook, you know, inside the toilet gets broken, it just gets unhooked on Shabbos, so you are not allowed to hook that on again. That is considered building, even though it's loosely, but this is considered, it's normal to be loose. Something that's normal to remain loose, we said, is forbidden even on a deraisa level, according to Torah law. So you're not allowed to put that S hook on Shabbos. If you see the toilet is not flushing, you know, when you press the lever down and just you hear the clank and nothing happens, so evidently the S hook got separate from the hook. You are not allowed to fix that on Shabbos. And that is even for kavod habrios and things like that, because that is forbidden on a Torah level. It's important to know, though, that you can flush it manually by taking off the cover and just like lifting the lever like that with your hands. Fine, if that's what you need to do every single time for the rest of Shabbos, so fine, so be it. It's not the end of the world. You are allowed to tell a guy for...
You're like, what if the landlord, you don't want him to waste his money?
It's only for that which we let from the halachos of telling a guy what you're allowed to tell a guy to do is very complicated. One of the ways is for hefsin meruba. A major loss, you're allowed to tell him to do something that's forbidden only on a derabbanan level. The eschuk is forbidden on a deraisa level. So that that we wouldn't let. There are cases where we let something forbidden even on a deraisa level, something ben hashmoshos or a psik resha, or other types of situations, a mitzvah, the rabbim, but this, you know, this will not be one of them. Maybe one day we'll do those halachas of what you're allowed to tell a guy and things like that. Now, I'm actually preparing those halachas right now. I don't know when I'm going to teach it, but I am preparing those halachas presently. It's not as simple as everyone thinks. Oh, just hint, just don't tell him straight out. Very not so simple. But this is one of the cases where we're not be allowed. It's forbidden on a deraisa level, but it's not one of the heterim. Plunging a toilet on Shabbos. Are you allowed to plunge a toilet on Shabbos? It gets stuffed up. Kids, whoever did it, tons of tissues or whatever happened, the toilet is stuffed up. So it's a huge machlokes in the Paiskim. Everybody talks about it. Rabbi Yashua, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Moshe, the Debrecina, they all discuss, are you allowed to plunge a toilet on Shabbos? Some say yes, some say no, some say it depends. Rabbi Avadi Yosef says that, you know, sometimes the water can still go down a little bit and it's still, there's still some type of hole that it's able to continue. If he says, if that's the case, then that means that it's not really a full blockage. And then when you free it up with a plunger on Shabbos, so then it's not as if you built anything because it was already usable without that. Some say it depends how many times. If you're going to need to do it, if it's majorly stuffed and you need to do it 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 times, and you're not allowed to, if it all takes 1 or 2 times, it's okay, then you are allowed to. I would tell you that if it's the only bathroom that you have, it's the only toilet, or not even if it's the only one, but if it's a toilet that you really need for Shabbos, the other one is in the basement, in the guest room, and this is your only toilet that you can really use, then you definitely have Paiskim what to rely on to plunge the toilet on Shabbos. But if it's just a half hour before Shabbos, and you know, really, you don't really need it very much, and it's not such a big deal if you wait until after Shabbos, I would tell you to avoid it. But if it's Shabbos morning or Friday night, and you still have a long Shabbos ahead of you, and it needs to be done, so then we say, then you can rely on the Paiskim that say you are allowed. The sink drainer, you know, at the bottom of the sink, they have the drainer. So we discussed in regards to halachos of borer that it's not a problem of borer on Shabbos because it's all bad and bad. But as far as taking that out and putting it back into the, you know, that drainer on the bottom of the sink, if it has a handle on it, so obviously it's made to take out and put back and take out and put back. That's also included in the leniency that we started off with tonight. Derech Tashmisha, that's the normal way. I'm not adding to the house, I'm not adding to the structure. That's just the normal way of usage, to remove it, put it back and forth. That is not a problem to remove on Shabbos. Okay. As far as making an ohel, making a tent on Shabbos. One more thing, as far as the cribs, I'm sorry, we were talking about the pack and plays, that we said you're allowed to open up a pack and play and a playpen and things like that, but you know, a lot of times you'll have a full crib that you raise or lower the bars to the side. So that, the place can say, should not be done. Even though you're not adding on any new parts, but that is changed only once in a while. And it's not like you're just simply unfolding something. You're changing the way it is. Until now, it was a high bar, and now you're making a low, or vice versa. So that should be done before Shabbos. You have guests coming for Shabbos, and they have an older child, a younger child, and it needs to be raised or lowered. So that should be done before Shabbos, to raise or lower the one side, because that is that's something that's done very infrequently. It's only done once in a while. That's not considered, you know, derech tashmisha, the normal way that you use it to raise and lower all the time. That's done once in, you know, when the child gets a little bit older, then you lower it a little bit, or whatever. So that should be done before Shabbos. Okay, as far as making an ohel, making a tent. So an ohel, you know, is an organization called ohel. That means a tent. It's like a canopy. So what's the halacha with making these canopies on Shabbos? And you'll see a few different situations where you'll be surprised where it's nogeya. If this tent is a permanent tent, then similarly that we discussed last week, if it's a permanent tent, then it's forbidden on a deraisa level. If it's something that's just temporary, then it's only forbidden on a derabbanan level, similar to we had to the building last week. If something is strong, a structure that's going to stay, that could stay for good, strong, so then that's forbidden on a Torah level. If it's something that's on a that's flimsy, it's going to be just temporary, so that is forbidden on a derabbanan level. The main part of this ohel, of this tent, is the roof. The main part is the roof. Sometimes it's going, the only way it's going to be forbidden is if there's a wall as well. Sometimes it's going to need a wall as well, but it's complicated halachas. As far as we're concerned, any tent that protects over a person or an animal, then it's already forbidden, even if it's just the roof. It doesn't have to have, you don't have to make the walls as well. If you just make the roof, there's the cover, that is also considered forbidden on Shabbos if it's there to protect a person or to protect an animal. For the roof to be forbidden, it needs to be a certain length of a roof. It can't just be a tiny square. It has to be one tefach by one tefach. Now, we discussed a few weeks ago the halachos of a tefach and the size of a tefach. We were discussing the halachos of trees and how getting benefit from trees when it's three tefachim off of the ground. A tefach, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, is 3.75 inches. Not a lot. It's about a fist, but some say 3 inches, some say 4 inches. Rav Moshe Feinstein says 3.75 inches. So if you have some type of cloth, that's 3.75 inches. By 3.75 inches, that already can be forbidden. It's not very big. But another important halacha is that the space that it is covering also has to be a tefach. Meaning, when I lay a tablecloth on a table, that's not a problem of making an ohel on Shabbos. Because, of course, the tablecloth is right up against the table. There's no tefach in between. There's hardly anything in between. It's resting on the table. So that is not a problem as far as ohel on Shabbos, because it has to be a tefach space between what it is protecting. If you lay a tarp on top of schach, on Yantif, Shabbos, and it's mamash laying on top of the schach is there already from before Shabbos, from before Yantif, of course. But you just lay the tarp on top of the schach, of the sukkah, that is also not a problem of ohel on Shabbos or Yantif, because it is not, there's no space of a tefach in between. It's just laying on the table or the schach or whatever it is that it is laying on. So that is already a big heter, a big leniency that a lot of people don't realize, that it has to be a tefach in between for it to be forbidden. If you take, let's say, you have a carriage and a baby is sitting in the carriage and there's a lot of bugs coming, or it's starting to rain, and let's say there's nothing covering the carriage or the stroller right now, so you go ahead and you take some type of mosquito net or some type of cloth or blanket or some type of stroller, you know, the covering, that, and you come and you put that on the stroller on Shabbos, so that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Obviously, it's protecting a person. There's a tefach of space in between, 3.75 inches, definitely in between, and that you're not allowed to go ahead and put that on Shabbos. Similarly, a lot of times kids want to play a certain game. They take two chairs, and they lay a blanket on those chairs in the living room, wherever it is, or in the playroom, and they make like some type of clubhouse. We discussed clubhouses recently, I guess maybe when we're talking about in the treehouse, right? Climbing trees on Shabbos a few weeks ago. So over here, they want to make like a little tent. It's cute, it's a nice game, and they take two trays, they put back to back or whatever it is, and they make a blanket on top of that. That is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Obviously, there's a tefach space, and they're putting the tent on, they're making a tent on Shabbos. Now again, talking about children, how old are they? It could depend. What's the age of chinuch for such a thing? But, like we said before, if they ask you to help you out, ask you, could you please do it for us? You know, you're not allowed to do it. Then clearly, you're not allowed to do it. That is making an ohel, you're making a tent on Shabbos. We discussed last week, as far as pitching a tent in the backyard, you took them, you know, camping a couple weeks ago, and now they want to do it in their backyard to make, again, a secret clubhouse. That for sure, besides that you're making a tent, but you're building something that is totally flat, and then you open it up, that is not allowed. Yeah.
How about if you walk into the room and the kids already made the tent?
Okay.
Do you have to destroy it?
Definitely not. You should not destroy it, because when you destroy it, that could run into the problems of soser, of destroying on Shabbos. I mean, there's, of the 39 forbidden malachos on Shabbos, one of them is building, which is what we're doing now, another one is soser, is demolishing. So almost any time that there's the malacha of bona, of building, the opposite is the malacha of destroying. So if it's there, don't break it.
Can they still play with it?
For sure, once it's there, they can play with it. They already made it, and especially if they're kids, you know, for sure, then it wasn't even a problem that they made it, then you know, it will be allowed. There is a discussion, you're asking a very good question, because there is a discussion, it's discussed by the halachas of cooking. If somebody violates the Shabbos and they cooked on Shabbos. They shouldn't have, but they cooked on Shabbos. So are you allowed to eat the food? Are you allowed to get benefit from the food? It's a tremendous discussion. It's a big machlokas about it, the Mishnah Berurah against the Vilna Gaon, and is a big discussion even in the Gemara, three-way machlokas in the Gemara, and how we paskin. It can make a difference if it was something that was forbidden min haTorah or something that was forbidden on a rabbinic level. It can make a difference if the person did it on purpose or if the person did it by mistake. So there's many variables, and many places can say that this is true, this discussion is true not only by cooking but by all of the 39 malachos. So over here as well, can you get benefit from the tent? Let's say they make this tent in the backyard, and then you're in the backyard, whatever, and you're locked out of your house and it starts raining. I have a great idea. Let me go, once the tent was ready made, let me go inside the tent. So you are now getting benefit from something that was performed on Shabbos that was a violation. So that will not be allowed. If kids made it, Kubli will be permitted to get benefit from it because it wasn't forbidden for the children. You know, they weren't eating chinuch, they didn't reach that age. Quite possibly it will be allowed. Anyways, the Vilna Gaon says that if it was done by mistake, an accident, they didn't realize the halacha, and I'm sure the children did not realize the halacha, then you'll be allowed to get benefit from it. So, but that is a good point. You have to know anytime by mistake you did an aveira and you did a malacha on Shabbos. Okay, so now what? Can I get benefit from it? So it gets into halachas by asking goyim to do on Shabbos. You know, you hint and you tell this and that, and the goyim do a malacha for you. There are times where you're not allowed to get benefit from what the goy did for you, even if you didn't ask the goy did it by himself. So it's pitch black in the room, and the goy says, "Oh, let me do you a favor. I'll just turn on the light for you." So yeah, the Mishnah says you have to leave the room. You can't get benefit from that, even though you didn't ask him to. But if he did it for a Jew, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to get benefit. So it's a halacha that also needs to be kept in mind all the time.
Shalom Zacher.
Okay.
Not Jewish relatives in the house.
Okay.
And they get hot and they flip on the air conditioner.
Okay.
Everyone can stay, right?
So but it happens to be over here that when a Jewish person who's not religious does it for you, it may be even more lenient than when a guy does for you. If a guy turns on the air conditioner for you on Shabbos, even if you didn't tell him, he did it because he realized you were hot, but he did it for a Jew. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for a Jew. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says you cannot get benefit. You have to leave the room. You have to leave the room. Other places can disagree. They say because really you could have been there, just you would have been hot. So now I'm here not being hot. So it's not really a full benefit. Rav Moshe Feinstein says no, that's considered a full benefit. But if a Jewish person who is not religious, it could be even more lenient because we say that we don't suspect that now in the future you're going to ask them to do it for you again because you would never ask a Jew to do that for you, even if they're not religious. You would never do that. A guy, we have to make a decree that, oh, if we let you, then perhaps you're going to next Shabbos ask them to do something for you. By a Jew, it's even more lenient because we don't have to suspect such a thing. Those are halachas that I haven't fully finished learning yet, preparing. It's, like I said, I'm in the middle of preparing it now, but from what I recall, that's basically.
No, they're saying if a guy turns it on for himself.
So if he turns it on for himself, then we say you're allowed to get benefit. Even if he did it, many places can say, even if he did it for himself and for a Jew, we say that he really was having just himself in mind. He doesn't really care about the Jew, and we say that you're allowed to get benefit from that. Yeah, we should do those halachas. Those are important halachas as far as having cleaning ladies, and it's not as simple as everyone. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you heard about it, but in the Agudah, Shabbos morning, you were there. So the air conditioner didn't work, and it happened to be the lights switched off in the middle of laning also. So it happens to be in the Agudah, there are very big windows. So the light wasn't an issue. But it was hot. It was very hot. There's no question about it. It was very hot. So were we allowed to go tell a guy? Rabbi Sachs was not there for Shabbos. So we were allowed to go get a guy and call a guy in to turn on the air conditioner? Some say yes, but many say no. Rabbi Yashav says no, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says no, for intricate details, but they didn't go get a guy to turn on the air conditioner, although later in the day, my wife saw a guy coming in.
Somebody was there, though.
Who was there? A guy was there?
Turned up
Lenny. Yeah, our neighbor.
He was there.
Yeah, he was where?
At the show in the morning. Someone
Why?
Got him.
Oh, someone got him?
I thought they turned
up. And he turned it on?
No, you couldn't figure it out.
It's very complicated, which I think is why it got messed up, because it's a complicated clock and, you know, it just was off. So, okay, I'm happy he couldn't figure it out. Because according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you went and got him and brought him there and turned it on, not only Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think of Shlomo Zalman Orbach as well, you can't get benefit from that.
So you would have to leave.
We would have to go downstairs, but it was pitch black, so we couldn't go. We'd have to go diving outside. you know, in such a situation with so many people, we probably would have had to rely on the other place that said that fine, you're allowed to. But which is not the end of the world. There's some great place that say you're allowed to. The Melech Tzitzlik, the Be'er Moshe, the others. But these things are not as simple as everybody thinks. Oh, just tell a guy and hint. You know, Lenny himself. One time, in my kid's room, the light was left on. We come upstairs Friday night after the Suda. The light was left on. Not a problem. You go get Lenny, you go get the guy, and you say it in a certain way. So fine, came in, he shut the light, he knew in a second what to do. He's done it many times. His mother used to do it, and then now he did it. So now when I'm learning these halachas, I felt terrible. It's really not so simple to do that, you know, to go call a guy. If you go call a guy and he knows you're doing you a favor, it's not so simple. But I'm not ready to teach those halachas yet. Let me master those halachas first. I mean, I'm not going to master it, but at least learn more about those halachas. It's not as simple as everybody thinks it is. There's definitely ways to rely, but it's not as simple, you know, getting a guy as everybody thinks it is.
What about kids? I know I've been someplace where they say kids can do it. Like if you want the light on, you can just put your baby over.
Also, not so simple. In a way, it's more lenient by your 2-year-old baby than an adult guy, because if the adult guy is doing it for you, so then he's doing it for you. By a 2-year-old child, where it comes into play is it's a pasuk in the Torah, and the Torah says that a man is obligated to make sure that his children do not do work on Shabbos for him. So now again, like as far as playing by themselves, that's not a problem. But you know, to do malacha, ato vincha vitecha, all your children, you have a responsibility to make sure your children do not do malacha for you on Shabbos. So you have your 2-year-old. So the question is, if you pick up your 2-year-old and put him right by the light and say, "You see the light?" So is that considered as if you told him? Fine. I once heard a whole shiur about this topic. Someone, you know, that was brought in from my kollel, a very big time chacham, and he discussed all the rishayim and all the sugyas. And then, but he didn't come out with the practical halacha. So am I allowed to take my 2-year-old and hold him right next to my light in the bedroom? So I went over to him after this shiur. I said, "Okay, so practically, am I allowed to do it?" He was, I don't know, he wasn't, you know, it's not so simple. A lot of people do it, and they just pick up the kid. He doesn't know what he's doing, he's just playing with the light. Fine, perhaps there is what to rely on to do that. Once the child's already, you know, 3, 4, once they understand that they're doing you a favor, then it should not be done. If it's really like a 1 or 2-year-old, that they're just playing with the light, so there are those that say you could pick him up and hold him right by the light. But if it's somebody, if it's an age of a child, then it could depend on the brains of the kid, you know, that he already realizes he's doing his mother or father a favor, then it should not be done. Okay, let's finish with the carriages, since I promise we're going to get to that. We said you're not allowed to make a roof on Shabbos. So if there is already an existing roof, then you are allowed to add to that roof. So now, meaning what comes into play is, let's say you have a stroller and there's no cover whatsoever. And now you want to come and put a cover on because of the rain, because of bugs, so that is not allowed. But if there already is a roof over there, the size of 1 tefach, 3.75 inches, you are allowed to extend that roof. That's just called mosif ol. You're adding on to a roof. That is allowed on Shabbos. So if already there is 3.75 inches covering the child or the person, and that's not enough because the rain is still going to get them wet or the bugs are still going to come in, you are allowed to add to that roof. Also by schach, let's say the tarp on top of your schach is 3.75 inches above the schach. Oh, so I'm not allowed to lay it out. But if it's already covering a little bit of the sukkah, 1 tefach or more, you're allowed to unroll it and make it longer because it is already a cover. You're just adding on to the cover. That is allowed. Any question?
I'll take hers because I have room on mine.
Okay. Sorry.
So if I have the cover of the stroller already on, but it's not enough, can I put the plastic raincoat over it?
So yeah, if the cover of the stroller is already on, then you are allowed to add on to the plastic on top of it, but only if it's already on top.
Okay, I remember.
Yeah.
If the stroller hood closed is a tefach wide, can you open it?
Yeah, if it's a tefach wide, then you're allowed to open it. Second, this is one halacha I'm looking for. So something that's already like a full canopy, meaning not I'm laying out something on top, but something that is like you know, like you have like on top of stores, you have some type of canopy, a folding canopy that is closed, and you just have to like turn it, and it just opens and closes. So that the Paiskim that say that that is allowed to be done on Shabbos. The Chazon Ish says that's allowed to be opened up on Shabbos, meaning not just that I'm coming and adding on, I'm bringing like my own plastic or my own blanket or my own net and adding onto it. It's something that is folded closed, and now I am unfolding it open. That the Chazon Ish says is allowed to be done, even if it's protecting a person. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's not allowed, but some type of a canopy or like an awning, that would be allowed. Also like an umbrella. An umbrella is a perfect example. The Chazon Ish says opening up an umbrella on Shabbos is not a problem of making a tent on Shabbos, because it's already it's a tent that's closed up. So now I'm just opening it, opening and closing it. He says that's not a problem of making a tent on Shabbos. He says there's other problems of Makah B'Patish, that you're considered like you're making something, you're finishing act. That's why, of course, we don't use umbrellas on Shabbos. Even if there's an Eruv, we do not use umbrellas on Shabbos for a variety of reasons. But the Chazon Ish says it's not a problem of making a tent, so because it was already a full-fledged ohel, just it was closed. So now I just opened it. He says that's not a problem. So that could apply by an awning or a canopy. That is also not a problem. If it's closed up, we say there are those that say that that is allowed. And then once that's allowed, Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch says you're allowed to even add onto it. So let's say that folding by a stroller, that it's closed, then according to the Chazon Ish, you'd be allowed to just open it. Opening and close. Then Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch says, once it's open and now it's a tefach big, you're allowed to add on to it. You could add on to that. Oh.
So what about opening an umbrella before Shabbos? Yeah.
So opening up an umbrella before Shabbos, you take care of the problem of, you know, the Makah B'Patish. Perhaps, maybe according to the Chazon Ish, it'll be allowed. There's another issue of what's called Uvdin D'Chol, which means like you're doing weekday types of things. And it seems as if, I have to check up again, it's not just the actual opening that's considered weekday-ish. Could be the whole entire just holding the umbrella. Besides that, not everybody agrees to what the Chazon Ish is saying. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees, and he says that opening it is a problem. If you would open it before Shabbos, there are those that say that every step you take is a new tent, because first it was a tent over here and now it's a tent over here. You know, you're moving it around and around. So that's also a reason to avoid it. The custom is already in Klal Yisrael. I mean, even if you could find certain poskim to rely on for each and every halacha, but we don't do that.
What about a patio umbrella? Like I have a big patio umbrella.
So I think that will be the same type of machlokas. The same type of machlokas. According to the Chazon Ish, it will be permitted. According to Moshe Feinstein,
it would be stationary, even though it just opens.
But it will be the same type of halacha. If it's covering over people, it will be the same machlokas. So again, the best would be to avoid it. Any covering that is held by a person's hands, that we say is not considered a tent. If it's holding it, that's why if you find, let's say, by kolanarim. On Simchas Torah, you know, all the little children come underneath the talus. Why is the talus not a problem of a tent? So the Chazon Ish says, because they're holding it in your hands, so it's not considered a fixed tent, so then that's not a problem. And that's the same idea as when you put a tablecloth on. So you hold it out on top of the table before you put it down. If you're holding it with your hands, so then it's not a problem.
Is the patio umbrella mutter if it's open before Shabbos?
Mutter to do what? To sit underneath it? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. It's a lot. Just one other halacha. Just looking for one halacha. I can't find where I wrote it. Oh, it's on this page. Okay. We said before that if it's something that protects people, I'll just finish up with this, something that protects over a person or an animal, then even if you do just the roof, that is forbidden on Shabbos. It doesn't have to have the walls, because it's considered very important, it's considered choshev, because it's protecting people or animals, so then just the roof is already forbidden. However, something that doesn't only have the roof, but it has the walls as well, meaning it's a roof, it's some type of closure that has a roof and walls. So the halacha is that if you make the walls first, then you are allowed to afterwards make the roof. And even though we said that just making a roof is already forbidden, but the fact of the matter is that if this type of structure has a roof and walls, and the normal way to do it is to put the walls and then the roof. So if you put the roof first, I'm sorry, I think I said the opposite. If you put the roof first and then you come with the walls afterwards, that is permitted to be done on Shabbos. And the best example of this is the following. Let's say a stroller that you have no way of covering unless you make a tent. So what are you supposed to do? So what you do is the following. You hold out the plastic and then you roll the stroller underneath into the plastic. My wife and I have done this many times because the stroller, the sides of the stroller are considered the walls. The plastic is considered the cover. So what's normal is to put the walls first. You have the stroller. Then you put the cover on top afterwards. If you put the cover first, meaning I hold the cover in midair over here, which is not a problem because I'm holding it in my hands, and then somebody comes in and puts the walls second, so that's considered an abnormal way of doing it, then we say that is permitted. So that's a leniency that we rely on for strollers a lot, meaning if you want to cover the stroller and you have no way of doing it without coming in with a new tent, what you should do is put the roof first and then roll the child, make the walls afterwards, put the stroller in afterwards. Even though just the walls is already forbidden, but over here, since you're doing it in an abnormal way, you put the cover first and then you roll the stroller, you put the walls underneath. Is that clear? Is that good? I've done that numerous times on Shabbos. We do it, let's say, outdoors if there's an Erev, and I just hold the tent. I just hold the plastic, which is considered like the covering, the tent, and then we make the walls afterwards. We put the stroller in afterwards.
A little bit less. Does that also apply if a child is making a fort?
For a child, anyways, it's not a problem.
They,
but
they know they can't.
Yeah, let's say that chair is with the blanket. Let's say
they
with
just
it,
build
right.
The roof
so
first.
Perfect example. If you want to make the chairs and the blanket on top, and they really, really need your help. What you would do is you would hold out the blanket and then put the chairs underneath. You put, because the chairs are like the wall, and the normal way is to put the chairs first and then the cover on top. If you really need to make such a thing, you put the blanket first and then have somebody put the chairs in afterwards. But you're doing it out of order.
They can make a fort.
So they could do that.
Okay.
So for sure the children could do that, and even the adult, an adult would be allowed to do that.
Well, why is that? Just because
abnormal. Because that's considered the abnormal way to do it. It's considered not the normal derech binyan, and that we permit on Shabbos. Because that's not considered bona. That's not considered the normal way of doing it. Okay, so that, I think, covers basically everything that we need to do for building in these 2 weeks and demolishing. We stuck in a few other halachos. And we'll have to decide what's going to be next.